I don't know if you guys realize this or not, but Dave was gone and we still rocked worship via Logan. I mean, did you guys realize that that was a student leading you in worship tonight? Like, I don't know if you realize that. Like, that was awesome. That was really, really cool. I had a chance. His parents are here tonight. They're like smiling like ear to ear. It's really cool to see his parents here tonight. So if you see Logan later on, just give him knuckles. Say good job, man. Right? We got three more songs to sing with Logan later on. He's got an incredible band tonight. But we're just blessed, right? We're blessed to have the students that we have. Blessed to have the leaders that we have. Blessed to just be a part of the Forward family. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, let me just kind of start off a couple things here. My name is Ryan. For those of you who don't know who I am, I'm the youth pastor here. I love doing what I do. And I hope that you, if you're a first time with us tonight, I hope that you love coming here. I hope that you come back. I hope that you connect with someone and connect with God tonight. That's our only aim, is that you would connect with someone and with God. And so that's our hope tonight. Now, let me ask you a question, okay? How many of you guys are planners? Like, you like, not planters, like I plant beans. How many of you are planners? Like, you like to plan things ahead of time, and you like to get things in order, and it likes to stay in that order, and then when it all falls loose, like when you have a plan and it doesn't quite work out for you, like all heck is going to break loose for you. How many of you are like that? Okay, that's me. I am a planner to a T. I love to plan. In fact, if you were to look at my sermon calendar for speaking to you guys, I plan about a year and a half out. Like, I've got a plan that is set in stone, right? There's a plan that I have, and I love to follow that plan. Whenever that plan goes awry, whenever that plan gets crazy, I just lose my mind, right? I lose my hair, okay? So a lot of plans have gone wrong for me, right? A lot of plans have gone wrong. But speaking of plans, right, we had planned on working through this series called, And I Meant It, and we were going to work our way through the book of James, and we were going to start in James 1 last week, and remember that? We started in James 1 last week, and we talked about how James said he was the brother of Jesus, remember? And so if there's anybody who knows how to live a life worthy of following after Jesus, it's probably his brother, because he grew up with him. And he said, don't just read the words of God, don't just listen to the word of God, actually do what it says. And that's what we talked about last week, right? Well, this week, we're supposed to jump into James chapter 2, right? Like, that was the plan. James 2 this week, James 3 next week, because that's the way that you work it through. Well, let me just kind of say let me speak for the elephant in the room. After the events that took place this past weekend with the girls from U High who were in the car accident, I decided that we're not going to spend time in James 2 tonight. Instead, we're going to move on to James 4, and we're going to come back to James 2 and 3 over the course of the next 2 weeks. But I think that so many of us have that kind of going on in our mind, or have just this thought. And so for that reason, I want to spend some time in James chapter 4 tonight instead, if that's okay with you. Because James chapter 4, what James is going to say to us is really, really, really key to what's been going on in your school, what's been going on in your neighborhood, what's been going on in this community. Now, let me say this about the events that took place last Saturday evening. To watch this community, Spokane Valley, come around this tragedy, and the way that the schools and the way that your families and the way that the neighborhoods have just kind of shown love in this community, like, we're being the body of Christ in this community. And it is so, so incredible to see that happen. And students, you may not realize it now, but you're going to look back on this moment, maybe 5-10 years down the road, and you're going to go, that was really cool. That was an incredible moment, watching this community come together, watching this community come around these families and show love in a way that's just so, so, so remarkable. Now, before we get to James chapter 4, because of the severity of what I want to talk about tonight, can I just pray? Can I just get us in the right moment tonight? Let me pray. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for what you've put on my heart tonight. I thank you, Father, for just the opportunity that I have to speak to these students in light of the events that took place. And God, allow us to realize and recognize that you are good, that you are so good all the time, and all the time you are good. In the midst of our highs, in the midst of our lows, in the midst of everything that we go through, Father, you are good. So God, tonight, as we jump into this scripture, as we spend some time in your word, God, my prayer, my hope, my goal, my desire is that these students, these leaders, these adults, this pastor would all understand and recognize just how good and how faithful you truly are. God, we love you. We thank you. It's your name we pray. Amen. James chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 13 and work our way through 13 and 14. So here we go. James chapter 4, verse 13 says this. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this city or that city and spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Verse 14 says this. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then it vanishes. Now, I started this message out by asking you how many of you are planners, all right? Now, I'm a planner. I love to plan things out. About a year and a half ago, I was at a church. It was called The Crossing. A lot of times you'll see me wear this shirt or a shirt very similar where it's got like this little arrow cross thing. This is the church that I worked for. It was called The Crossing. I loved this church, still love this church. The reason I wear shirts that have their logo on it is because I thought that I was going to be at this church for the remainder of my life. Like, I thought that that's where I was going to be. And about a year and a half ago, I received a phone call from Nathan Rector, the senior pastor here. And he called me and he said, hey, I want to talk to you about the possibility of you leaving The Crossing, a church that you love. And I want to talk to you about coming to Spokane Valley and being a youth pastor in Spokane Valley. And I've got to tell you guys, I wrestled with that and wrestled with that and wrestled with that because the plan that my wife and I had was that we were going to stay at The Crossing until God called us elsewhere. Like, that was our plan. And in that moment, we felt like God was calling us elsewhere. And so my plans began to change. For a lot of you, you had plans when you went back to school this year. Maybe for some of you, you planned on making the team. Like, that was your goal. You went to school this year. You walked in September and you thought, you know what? I'm going to make that team this year. And for some of you, those plans worked out. For some of you, those plans did not work out. Some of you, you plan that you're going to do better in class. Like, you know that math class is one of your horrible subjects, because it was for me, and so most of you, I assume, like, math was just bad. We got a math teacher here tonight, and man, where are you at, Brian? Back there? Brian, just for sake of me never getting to tell a math teacher this, I hate you, right? Because you think it's so easy and it's so not, right? Like, he's putting up like X means 4 and no, it doesn't. X means X, right? And so, like, anyway, like you went back to school this year and you planned on doing better in class. And for whatever reason, you didn't do better in class. So some of you planned on dating him, right? Like, you walked into school and you went, I'm going to date him. Or maybe you walked into school and you thought, I'm going to date her. And for whatever reason, that plan, it didn't work out. Some of you thought, you know what, I'm gonna plan to start this school year out right. I'm going to plan on winning the day every single day. And for some of you, that's worked. For some of you, you think, you know what, I lost and I lost and I lost and I lost. And for whatever reason, we have these plans. But the question I want to ask you tonight is, as you plan, what happens? What happens when your plans come off the rails? What do you do when all these plans that you've got, what happens when all these plans come off the rails? And a lot of times we come back and we ask this question. It's the question that many of you have been asking all week long. Why? And some of you even take it a step further, and it's not just why, but it's God, why? God, why would you do this? God, why would you do that? For whatever reason, maybe some of you didn't plan on going to a classmate's funeral this year. Like, when you walked into school the first day, you didn't plan on that. But for whatever reason, it happened. And so now you have to ask the question, why? And for some of you, it's simply asking the question, God, why? God, why would you do this? God, would you explain to me why you would do this? And for whatever reason, a lot of us would tell you, or somebody might tell you, don't ever question God. Don't ever question him. If you question God, don't do that. Guys, I want to tell you, it's okay to question God. It is absolutely okay to question God. It's a legitimate question. It's a legitimate question to question God. In fact, all throughout the Bible and all of the Old Testament, people are questioning God and questioning God and questioning God. In fact, when God comes to Noah and God says, hey, Noah, here's what I want you to do. I want you to build an ark because I'm going to flood the entire world. Like, everybody else is going to drown. Everybody else is going to die. I need you to build an ark and get two of every kind of animal and get your family on this thing. And I need you to do this. And Noah's asked the question, why would you do that, God? Why would you do that? I think of Job in the Old Testament. You know, you got Job in the Old Testament, and he loses most of his family, and he loses all of his livestock, and he loses all of his livelihood. And he's asking the question through the book of Job, throughout the book of Job, why, God, why? Yeah, I think of the writers of Psalms. These writers of Psalms, they're like whiners. You know that? Like, sometimes they're praising God. The rest of the time, they're whining, okay? And they're just asking God, why, God? Why would you do this? And so you've been asking this question probably all week long. Maybe even in the past, as a tragedy has taken place in your life, or as something's happened, you begin to ask the question, why? In fact, I think back to just not that long ago, we had the bombings in Boston, right? That Boston Marathon bombing, and you might have asked the question, why? 9/11, I don't know how many of you guys were actually like old enough to remember 9/11, but 9/11, when that happened, like a lot of you, I know I did, I asked the question, why? And we begin to ask this question, God, why? Now, it's not wrong to ask the question, why? But let me fill you in on something, okay? This side of eternity, we can ask and ask and ask and ask and ask, but the reality is, this side of eternity, we're never fully going to understand. I mean, we can ask that question, why, God? Why would you do this? God, tell me why, tell me why, tell me why. And we can ask and ask and ask, but in reality, guys, this side of eternity, we don't really fully understand God's reasoning for why he might do things. I think of it like a rug. You guys see this rug up here? I think of it like this rug. I mean, this is a pretty nice rug, right? See this thing? It's kind of beautiful, right? You guys, it's okay to say beautiful, all right? But it's a nice rug. And the designer of this rug designed this rug to look like this, to have some circles and to have some lines and to have, you know, this nice design, this nice pattern so that when you step on it and wipe your feet on it, it looks good, right? Like, it looks fine. Now, do you think the designer, when they designed the rug, designed the underside of the rug as well? Not at all, did they? I mean, if you look at the underside of this rug, it's got mangles. It doesn't have any design at all. It doesn't have any pattern. In fact, if it's a different rug, a lot of times different rugs will have, like, cloth coming off the backside because it took yarn and string to make that rug take place, right? To make the pattern on the front side look better, and so the bottom just looks like junk, right? See, here's the deal, guys. Here's the reality. This side of eternity, we're seeing life from the bottom of the rug. This side of eternity, we see life from the bottom of the rug, not fully understanding the full finished picture of the author, not fully understanding the full finished picture of the designer of life. And so we see the life from the bottom of the rug, and God sees life from the full finished picture. You guys get what I'm saying? That when we look at life and we begin to ask this question, why God, why God, why God, we'll never fully understand the why behind the what. But tonight, what I want to do, instead of answering the why behind the what, because I can't give you that. I'm not going to stand up here and give you some malarkey of an answer. I'm just not going to do that. I know some other people that would stand up here and be like, well, this is why, because God is sovereign. And I'm not going to do that. Instead, what I want to do is I want to spend some time maybe changing the question. I'm not necessarily asking the question, why, God? But what do you want me to do in spite of it, God? I don't understand it. I don't get it. But what do you want me to do? How do you want me to live? How would you have me go about my life? What is my purpose in the midst of not understanding everything that you're doing, God? I still want to be able to know how to live. And that's what James is going to give us some insight on. Did you catch what James said in James chapter 4, verse 14? When James says, you know, why are you worried about tomorrow? What's your life? He says, you're a mist. You're here for a while and then you vanish. So many of us this week realized the reality of that, didn't we? So many of us this week, we realized the reality that we're only here for a short period of time. That there's a period of time that we're on this earth and there's a period of time where we're not. Like we're here. And then there comes a point where we're no longer here. And James says, don't necessarily worry about tomorrow. Worry about how you're living today. Worry about what's on your plate today. Worry about what's on your agenda today. Worry about the purpose that you're living in today. Now, I'll give you a quick definition of the mist, all right? A mist is basically if you take a tea kettle, all right? You put a tea kettle with boiling water on a stove, and you heat it up, and it boils, and it boils, and it boils. There's some heat that rises called steam, right? And does the steam fill the entire kitchen when it does that? Those of you that have ever boiled water, the steam doesn't do that, does it? It only goes up about this much off the pot, right? Or off the kettle. And then it's gone. James is saying, that's what your life is like. Your life is like that mist. It's like that steam. It's only here for a period of time, and then it is gone. And so if we're only here for a period of time, what's our purpose while we're here? How should we live? What's the purpose of our life while we're on this earth? Tonight, what I want to do is I just want to give us a purpose statement. Is that fair? If I just give us a purpose statement, if we're just here, if we realize and recognize that we're only here for a period of time and we live our life with this purpose in mind, and this purpose for some of you, it's going to hurt. For this purpose, for some of you, it's going to sting a little bit because of the events that have gone in your life. Maybe not this week, but previous events in your life, previous tragedy. And you're just going, you know what? I can't swallow that truth, but it's truth. Here it is. God is good. That's the purpose statement. That if you would live your life with that purpose in mind, that God is good. And many of you, you prayed that prayer when you were 3 years old, right? You were taught that prayer right off the bat. God is good. God is great. Thank you for this food. Amen, right? Like that's the prayer a lot of you learned right off the bat. And you didn't really realize what that means. Some of you, you might have even taken a step further. Maybe you went to an old school church, and I want to bring this old school model back, all right, where you would say, God is good all the time and all the time. God is good. You see, that was like the old people in the room. They knew that. But young people, let's get this, all right? God is good all the time, and all the time what?
God is good.
Right? If we would live with that purpose in mind, that God is good all the time, and all the time God is, if we would realize that, if we would recognize that, guys, it will change the way that we truly live our life. And for some of you, you're pushing back. You're pushing back going, no, Ryan, you don't understand. God is not good all the time. God isn't good all the time. There's no way God's good all the time. Ryan, if you knew what my life has been like, if you knew what I've been through, you can't say from that stage that God is good all the time. We're going to talk about some of these pushback tonight. In fact, let's look at what Jesus said. Jesus said this about God's goodness in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. He says this. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Verse 9, which of you, if the son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Hit pause. I mean, Father of the Year right there, right? Let's just pretend for a moment you leave this place, you go to Wendy's, all right? You're with your family at Wendy's, you're going through the drive-thru, you're sitting in the back seat, and you're saying, Mom or Dad, I would like the new pub chicken sandwich, right? That pretzel pub chicken sandwich? Try to say that 4 times fast, right? You want the pretzel pub chicken sandwich, and so you're in the back seat, you're saying, Mom, Dad, I want the pretzel pub chicken sandwich. Your dad or mom opens the door, grabs a rock from the drive-thru, hands it back, and goes, eat this. No! I wanted a pretzel pub chicken sandwich. I don't want a rock, right? Jesus is saying, no father, no mother is going to give you a rock when you ask for bread. All right, so pick it back up again, verse 10. Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake. Two things here. Why would you ever ask for a fish? Secondly, why would you give him a snake? Again, Dad, I wanted a fish. Verse 11. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts. Check out what Jesus is doing here. He's saying, you know what? You're evil and you know not to give a stone. You know not to give a rock. You know not to give a snake as a gift. You're evil. I'm evil. We're all evil. The book of Romans tells us that. How much more will your Father in heaven give, what's that word? Good. Good gifts for those who ask him. My daughter's turning 3 this weekend, and I'm jacked about it, right? I get to go to Chuck E. Cheese. And it's not the best. Shut it. I get to go to Chuck E. Cheese this week. I get to go to Build-A-Bear this week. My daughter, she's getting a dollhouse, ginormous dollhouse as big as me, which isn't that big. But she's getting a dollhouse, right? Now, what Jesus is saying here is, if I'm evil, and let's just bring it on me, okay? Because I'm evil. If I'm evil, if I'm able to give good gifts to my daughter, how much more is God going to give? Because God is, what's that quality we've been talking about?
Good.
He's good. Jesus is bringing a parallel, and he's saying, God is good, and God is good all the time. Now, you might push back again, and you say, well, Ryan, God isn't good all the time. Here's the question I want you to ask yourself. Okay, and you might want to write this one down because I think it's one you might take home and think through. It's this. Are we going to allow circumstances to determine our belief in God? Or are we going to allow our belief in God to determine the circumstances? I'm going to say that again. Are we going to allow the circumstances to determine our belief in God? Or are we going to allow our belief in God to determine the circumstances? Let me bring it this way. Let's say 2013, January 1, 2013 was the worst day of your life. Okay, the absolute worst day of your life. On January 1, 2013, you had to go to the emergency room because you needed an emergency root canal and the dentist wasn't open. And so you went to the emergency room and you got to the emergency room and for some reason they were all out of pain medication. All right? And so you're in the emergency room and they're like, you know what? We got this emergency root canal. And so they just start drilling into your teeth and you've got no pain medication whatsoever. And it's the worst feeling. It's the nastiest feeling you've ever felt in your life. Your head is on fire, literally. Like you're just not having it. And you get home after this thing and it's just death on wheels. Like you're just, you can't feel your head and anything. And you get all the way home and you find out that your best friend has just backstabbed you. Right? And so now you have no friends whatsoever. This is all happening January 1, 2013. You lay your head on your pillow. It's the worst day of your entire life. January 2 comes around. January 2 comes around, and all of a sudden your friend feels really bad for what they did, and so they apologize, and the hospital feels really bad about not having pain medication, and so they just give you and your family $10 million because, hey, out of the generosity of their heart, they're going, you know what, here's $10 million. We feel really bad about what happened, and that girl or that guy that left you the day before, they want you back, but not only do they want you back, that girl or guy you've been eyeing in class, they want you back now, and so you're like, heck yeah, and so everything's going well, right? That's January 2, 2013. And every day from there on just gets better. Every month from there on just gets better. In fact, it gets so great for you, like you're a catalyst in your school and you're on fire for God. It gets so great for you that somehow, some way, Time Magazine heard about you and they made you the person of the year and they put you on the cover of Time Magazine and life is just perfect for you, right? And then January 1, 2014 comes along and someone comes up and they ask you the question, how was your 2013? You know what you're going to tell them? It was fantastic. Right? Oh, you might remember January 1, 2013. You might remember that one day. That one day is the worst day of your life, but in the totality of the 364 days that followed that day, it was a terrific, terrific year. Right? And so for you to push back and say, you know what? Well, if God is so good, if God is so good all the time and all the time God is good, what about this? When you span the totality of from now through eternity, his track record, guys, is a whole lot of good. There might be one instance in your life where you're saying, well, how come and why and why and why and why and why? And again, it goes back to the rug illustration. It goes back to that. We may never understand the why this side of eternity, but in reality, God is good. Well, Ryan, if God is so good, would you explain 9/11 to me? If God is so good, why would God allow planes to be hijacked and ran straight into the side of those buildings? Why would God allow that? I'll explain 9/11 to you. Every day, thousands of planes take off and thousands of planes land safely every single day, and God does not get any credit. Explain school shootings to me, Ryan. If God is so good all the time and all the time God is good, explain a school shooting to me. I'll explain them. Millions of students go to school every single day, come home unharmed. God gets no credit. But there's those one instances. There's those couple instances where evil takes place in the world. And you say, well, why doesn't God get rid of evil? Because if God got rid of evil at 12 o'clock, by 12:01, no one would be standing. That's why. We want to get rid of the evil in others, but we don't want to get rid of it in ourselves. God is good all the time and... well, if God's so good, why do you do this? Why do you do that? I mean, you're pushing back because you're going, Ryan, it's easy for you to say that. You're a pastor. You probably had rainbows and butterflies your whole life. You can stand on that stage and you can tell us God is good all the time and all the time God is good. And you can have a smile on your face about it and it can be incredible because your life has never been as hard as mine. You know what? You're probably right. You're probably right. Some of you. I mean, I could stand up here and talk to you about the tragedies that I've gone through in my life. I don't want to waste your time telling you about all of them. I'll tell you a couple. Had a football coach, it was my freshman year of high school. I had a football coach literally fall over and die during one of our games. It's tough. My sister's boyfriend, it was a February evening in Nebraska. Roads get really icy in Nebraska. We begged him to stay at the house that night because the roads were really icy. Instead of driving home, he chose instead to drive home, killed in an accident. Had another friend who was jacking around in a car, was hanging out the window of a car, and fell out of the window of the car and got ran over. Maybe the worst tragedy of my life happened to be my freshman year or my senior year of college. Received a phone call from my mom. She told me that my dad had been missing for 3 days. She said, "Ryan, we didn't want to alarm you." I lived 8 hours away from my mom. She said, "We didn't want to alarm you the first couple days because he usually comes home when he goes missing, but this time it's been 3 days." We went through Thanksgiving and Christmas not knowing where my father was. 6 months later, we received a phone call from a police officer saying they found his body. I mean, I understand tragedy, as many of you do. And through it all, I can still with blessed assurance stand on this stage and say, God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Now, did I ask the question why? Absolutely. I continue to ask the question why in most of those circumstances, but I will always realize that I don't understand and won't understand this side of eternity. But God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. See, here's what I found. I found that if you begin to praise God in the midst of your circumstances, whether they're good, whether they're bad, if you begin to praise God in the midst of your circumstances, God, the circumstances, a lot of times, God will change them. I was reading this past week about an army in Israel. This army in Israel was going to battle, and they had three other armies kind of surrounding them. And so this army of Israel actually decided, you know what, we're going to put our worship leaders out front. We're going to put the worship leaders out front, and we're going to kind of see what happens. And so the worship leaders go out front, and they begin singing this. They begin singing this song. God is good. His love endures forever. God is good. His love endures forever. And as they're singing that song over and over and over again, and they were praising God in the midst of the circumstances, these armies were surrounding them and surrounding them and surrounding them. All of a sudden, God delivered them and they won the battle. I think of Paul in Acts chapter 16. Paul gets imprisoned, and so he's in chains, and he's been beaten and flogged, and he's lying in chains in prison. And all of a sudden, he begins singing hymns. And I think he's singing the hymn that I was just talking about there. God is good. His love endures forever. And he's singing this loudly in the midst of the circumstances after he's been beaten and battered. And after he's laying in this prison cell with chains on his arms and chains on his legs, all of a sudden, the prison walls begin to shake. And the chains fall off of his hands. They fall off of his feet. They fall off of all of the other prisoners. And they all run free. Because in the midst of the circumstance, Paul begins to praise God. Last piece of scripture, Habakkuk chapter 3. Everybody turn to your neighbor and say, Habakkuk. Sounds like you're hocking a loogie. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 through 19 says this. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the field produces no fruit, no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord and I will be joyful in God my Savior. He's saying, you know what? All heck is breaking loose in this place. There's none of this and there's none of this and there's none of this and none of this. And in the midst of all of this stuff, I will continue to praise God. See, what James said was right. We're only here for a mist. We're only here for a period of time. We're only here for a length of time. But realizing that and allowing that to become the motivation for the way that we live, guys, I'm telling you right now that if you understand that you're only here for a period of time, you're going to begin to live with purpose. You're going to begin to live on purpose. And you're going to begin to live a life of purpose. And that purpose statement is simple. You know it and I know it. God is good all the time, and let's begin to live out that purpose. Would you stand with me? Father God, I thank you. I thank you for this opportunity that we have to respond to your goodness. In the midst of the circumstances that have taken place in our life, whether it be this week, whether it be the past weeks, God, God, allow us to realize and allow that motivation that you are good in the midst of our good, in the midst of our bad, in the midst of us not understanding, in the midst of us needing clarity. You are good and your love endures forever. So God, tonight as we sing, as we respond, I pray for any student tonight that's really, really struggling with just this idea that you would take someone's life from this earth. I pray for any student in this place, Father, who just needs some guidance, needs someone to talk to. God, I thank you for the availability of our small group leaders, our connect group leaders. I thank you for the availability of some teachers from U High who made a special trip here tonight simply to talk to these students. God, I pray that in this moment, as we begin to sing, as we begin to respond, that we would respond realizing and recognizing just how good you are. God, we love you and we thank you. It's in your precious and holy name that we pray. Amen.